Please join me in the unison prayer of confession. Life-giving God, quicken me to call upon your name, for my mind is ignorant, my thoughts vagrant, my affections earthly, my heart unbelieving, and only your Spirit can help my infirmities. May the truth that is in Jesus illuminate in me all that is dark, establish in me all that is wavering, comfort in me all that is wretched, and accomplish in me all that is of your goodness, and glorify in me the name of Jesus. Teach me that Christ cannot be the way if I am the end, that he cannot be Redeemer if I am my own Savior, that there can be no true union with him while the creature has my heart, that faith accepts him as Redeemer and Lord or not at all. Amen. Please follow along with me in your Bible, the Pew Bible, or your Bible phone app as I read from the scripture, John 3:16-21. For God so loved the world that he gave his own one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not have perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has been done through God. Please enter into an attitude of reverence with me at your seat, in your home, or kneeling as we come to God in prayer. Lord, we come to you in sorrow and in joy, our world, our nation, our community, and we as individuals are suffering because of our sin. But we know, Lord, that Scripture assures us that in all things you work for the good of those who love you, who have been called according to your purpose. We lift up our world and ask for your mercy, provision, safety, peace, and yes, Lord, for your mighty presence in Afghanistan, in Haiti, in Cuba, in South Africa, and in Ethiopia, especially for your church in Jima. Our hearts break for our fellow believers all over the world who endure persecution as they love Jesus. We pray for healing throughout our land and throughout the world. Viruses, cancer, and other illnesses burden all of us directly or indirectly. Bring healing, Lord Jesus, for you are the great physician. We pray especially for those of our church body who suffer debilitating and life-threatening disease and sickness, for all those listed in our weekly prayer list, for loved ones, friends, and acquaintances who need your healing presence and reassurance that they are loved, for Linda, for Karen, for Tom. Lord, we lift up our TLC person this week, Tiny Palmer. May he feel the love and gratitude that we have for him. We pray for our church, for wisdom, discernment, and faithfulness as we strive to be your hands and feet here in this community and to show your love to one another and to others. Lord, may they truly know that we are Christians by our love. We pray for our gifted and faithful church pastors, leaders, and staff as they model Christ in our midst, John, Scott, Billy, Shannon, April, Karen, Paul, and Joyce. We pray for our community, for the children, for teachers, for students and staff at JMU, Bridgewater College, Eastern Mennonite, and Blue Ridge Community College, for all of those who serve others in every capacity, for our doctors, nurses, and caregivers. We pray for our local, state, national, and world leaders, those in leadership capacities at all levels, and for our armed forces. May they be humble have wisdom, patience, and courage, and may they seek your will in prayer. Lord, please heal the divisions within our nation and within our people. Help us to come together, one nation under God, with liberty and justice for all. As the words of the old hymn promise, in Christ there is no east or west, in him no north or south, but one great fellowship of love throughout the whole wide earth. May we live it. Lord, we praise and honor who you are, your love for us, the gift of your Son, Christ Jesus, and the Holy Spirit to dwell within us. Thank you for the miracle of life, and thank you for the miracles you do for us daily that we take for granted. And thank you for the new leaders in our church that you have raised up to serve as elders and deacons. Give them wisdom that they may guide us as we serve and witness in this church and in this community. And now, Lord, hear us as we pray together the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Amen.
Don, thanks for serving as our liturgist this morning. That was a powerful prayer. Kids, if any of you want to join me, you can up here. We're going to have a little children's sermon. If you want to stay in your seats, that's fine too, but we love having you come up. This is going to be an interactive children's sermon that I'm going to call for some things from all of you, even if you're in your seats. So I want to play a little game with you. It's a game called Two Truths and a Lie. And it's a get-to-know-you game that sometimes people play. And the way this game works is I'm going to say three things about me. Two of them are going to be true. One of them is going to be a lie. And it's going to see how well you know me, because you have to guess which one is the lie. All right, you ready? We'll do two rounds just to see how this works, all right? I've been scuba diving, I've been bungee jumping, and I've been skydiving. All right, which one is a lie? How many of you think, no, we'll do it this way, you raise your hands, right? How many of you think that I've never been scuba diving? How many of you think that's a lie? All right, so, well, at least one person thinks. How many of you think I've never been scuba diving? All right. A couple of you. How many of you think I've never been bungee jumping? All right, a few of you on that one. How many of you think I've never been skydiving? A lot of you are kind of apathetic and not answering the question. I see how that works. I've never been bungee jumping. I want to, but I've been scuba diving and I've been skydiving, kind of fun. All right, that one was one round. Let's try another round, all right? I'm going to say three more things. You have to guess which one is the lie. I was born in Oregon. I attended three different high schools in two countries and two states. And I used to work in Russia. Now, how many of you think I was not born in Oregon? A couple of you don't think I was born in Oregon, all right? How many of you think that I didn't really go to three different high schools? Just one or two, raise the hand. All right, and how many of you think I didn't really work in Russia? And most of you. I was close. I didn't work in Russia. I worked in Hungary for 2 years. I've been to Russia. Actually, that's not true. I've been to the Soviet Union. It wasn't Russia yet, or again, on that point. So, you know, here's the deal, right? I fooled a lot of you on those questions. But the people who really know me, they're hard to fool. Because they know me. They know the truth. They know my story. And in a way, that's what I'm going to preach about today. I want to talk about that if you want to know the truth, you have to know Jesus. Because Jesus is the truth. And the more you know him, the more you can tell what's true and what's a lie. And I hope you'll listen. Cool? I'm going to remind you, what happens when I say cool? You nod and you smile. You nod and you smile. All right? Let me say a little prayer. Lord Jesus, I do pray that we would, through this reading and preaching of your word, come to know you, the truth, better. Lord, that you'd inspire in us a desire to seek you out. And Lord, that we'd then proclaim your truth to the world. Do this and more, for we ask it in your name. Amen. All right, I think we have a children's church available. If you want to follow Miss Katie, she'll take some of you to children's church. But if you want to stay in the sanctuary, that's always welcome too. But head one of those two directions, either back to your seats or with Miss Katie on that front. So as I said a minute ago, I'm going to start a sermon series today on truth, discovering a firm foundation for life. And honestly, it feels like a really timely series. I mean, think people have always been looking for truth. We've always been wired to go, what's the truth? Oh, I want to know the truth. We want to seek the truth. But I think it's just getting harder and harder to discern the truth. I mean, there's fake news. There's deep fakes. I read a fascinating article just this week about how they're creating videos that look just like reality, so you can't even believe video anymore. It's just so hard to find the truth. But we want it. And we're debating it, and we're seeking it, and we're arguing about it. I mean, if I wanted to test right now just how important truth is to you, I'd just go, hey, what's the truth about masks? Or, you laugh because half of you are sitting there going, I know my position's the truth. And the other half are going, no, I know my position's the truth. Same thing happens if I go, hey, what's happening in terms of climate change? Or what's happening in terms of immigration? I mean, if you want to debate a really hot truth subject, let's debate about which team is the best in the NFL. Right? The gospel truth is it's the Denver Broncos. Right? It's ridiculous. We can't even figure out who's going to be our quarterback this year. And these debates about truth have crept into the church, too. The church debates the veracity of the Bible. There are people debating, like, this book belongs in the Bible. No, this book belongs in the Bible, and we can't even decide what belongs in the Bible. You've got these Gnostic Gospels. And because of that, we debate, like, did the virgin birth really happen? Did the bodily resurrection of Jesus actually happen? Is there a biblical standard for sex and gender? Is there really a hell? And in the midst of all these debates, people tend to err in two equally bad directions when it comes to the truth. Some people err toward what I'll call the legalist side of truth. Truth is this narrowly defined set of statements. It's rigid. It's objective. At least they think it's objective. It's actually ultimately very fragile. In the church, it often looks like, hey, the Bible said it, I believe it, that settles it, we're not even going to talk about it anymore. And then you point out something that they don't like that the Bible also says that they just don't want to believe, and then it gets really messy. Truth for the legalists boils down to these limited number of things, and if you don't line up with their definition of truth, you're out. You're to be shunned and avoided. But the licensed position on truth isn't any better. It's equally bad. Truth for people in the licensed position is relative. It's almost like being agnostic about truth. Like, we can never really know the truth, so you have your truth, I'll have my truth. And even if they contradict, it doesn't matter. Let's just all get along. Now, ultimately, it doesn't matter if you're a legalist or a licensed person when it comes to truth. It just doesn't work for the long haul. And this search for truth that we all have is just left wanting. So is there a better way? Can we actually find truth that we can build and orient our lives around? And thanks be to God, the answer is yes. The truth can be found in Jesus, who is the truth. He created truth. He knows truth. He is the truth. And that's what we're going to get into in this series, is Jesus' better way of truth. And we're going to start that today by looking at what is truth. Just how do you define it? And being a Presbyterian, I'm going to have 3 points and a poem to help show you what truth is. I really am, actually. Last time I said I was going to be Presbyterian and I only had 3 points, my dad texted me and said, "You're Presbyterian, you forgot the poem." So I made sure I had the poem this time. And we're going to dig into John chapter 18, verses 33 through 38. So why don't you turn your Bibles, your Bible apps to John 18, 33 to 38. As you're turning there, let me set the context. John 18 starts with Jesus being arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. It includes Peter's denials of Jesus, and it then has Jesus' trial, first before Caiaphas, and then before Pilate. And the verses that we're going to read today, verses 33 to 38, recount part of his trial with Pilate. And with that, John 18, 33 to 38. Listen for God's holy word to you. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked. "Or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." "What is truth?" retorted Pilate. With this, he went out again to the Jews gathered there and said, "I find no basis for a charge against him." This is the word of the Lord. So this is a trial. And trials are supposed to ascertain the truth of guilt or innocence. And Pilate, in a very real way, is trying to do his job. He's trying to find out the truth. Is Jesus claiming to be the king of the Jews, and is he then trying to organize a rebellion that's going to overthrow Rome? Because that would be an offense, that would be guilt, that he could then execute Jesus for. Pilate's actually trying to do his job. But Pilate gets more than he was bargaining for. In many ways, you would say that Pilate's the one who ends up on trial here, because he's finding out that Jesus just isn't king of the Jews, he's the king of the universe, he's king over everybody. But in the process, Jesus has a lot to say about truth. Right? He came to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth is going to listen to him. And Pilate to that says, "What is truth?" Now it's interesting, we can't read tone. We don't really know what tone Pilate had when he said, "What is truth?" What's interesting, though, is ancient commentators are pretty united in going, it was a sincere tone. He's really asking, what is truth? And we can tell, because what does he do right after this? He goes out and says he's innocent and has this failed attempt to free him. Interestingly, though, modern commentators are almost all united in going, no, he's cynical in his thing. And you can actually see modern translators take that idea that he's just being cynical here, because the translation I read said Pilate retorted. The word retorted is not in the Greek, it's just Pilate said in the Greek. And they think this, though, because, you know, Pilate was a realist. The truth didn't really matter. It was all about political expediency. Now, personally, I don't know. I don't know the truth of Pilate's tone, but I do think his question is a really good one. What is truth? Now, when I read this text, I find myself kind of like when I watch a Denver Broncos football game, wanting to scream at my Bible. I'm like, Pilate, truth is standing right in front of you. Jesus is the truth. We're going to preach about that next week. Billy and I are going to do kind of a collaborative sermon. I'm excited about that approach to things. But Jesus is the truth. He's the one who created it. He's the one who knows it. He is, in fact, truth. Pilate, you're so close to the truth. And truth is about proximity in so many different ways. If you're just close to Jesus, you're close to the truth. And Pilate somehow just misses it. He's not there all the way. He's just not sure what truth is. But I'll tell you what truth is. Truth is a relationship with Jesus. If you want truth, you have to have a relationship with Jesus because he is truth. Now, that's not saying that people who don't have a relationship with Jesus have no idea what truth is. That's clearly not the case. Lots of people who don't know anything about Jesus have some part of truth in them. That's called common grace. Jesus says very clearly that he makes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust alike. And in the same way, he causes truth to be revealed to the people who believe and the people who don't believe. But if you really want truth that makes an eternal difference, then you have to have a relationship with Jesus because he is the truth. Truth is a relationship with Jesus. And that means that in a very real sense, truth is dynamic. Not dynamic in the sense that the truth changes, right? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's fixed. But truth is dynamic in the sense that it changes us. Last week, I was preaching out of Acts chapter 11, and there was this verse in Acts 11 where Barnabas encouraged everybody to stay true to the Lord. And it's interesting if you think about that word, true to the Lord, because how do we use true in something like construction? Right? A board is true so much as it's a straight board. A road is a true road if it's following the path that's laid out for it. It's a true course. A wall is true if it's straight up and down. Truth is this objective outside standard that if the board doesn't match up to it, if the placement of the road doesn't line up with it, if the placement of the next course of bricks doesn't line up with it, it needs to be brought into true. And the same is, double entendre, true of us. We need to be brought into truth. It needs to change us. Look, if you're not growing in your love for God, if you're not growing in your love for neighbor, if you're not actively working to fulfill the Great Commission, if you're not becoming more loving and joyful, if you don't have increasing measures of peace, and oh, that one that we don't like to hear, patience, if you're not becoming more kind and good and gentle and self-controlled, you're out of true. And you have to become true. You have to have a relationship with truth to become true. This is why people who can make some statement that might be factually true, but who aren't loving and aren't God and neighbor and full of the fruit of the Spirit and so on, they're not really in truth. The demons know the truth that there is one God and they shudder. But the truth isn't changing them. So they're not in truth. And the same is true, by the way, on the license side of things, right? Like if you go, hey, I know the truth, but it's not changing you, If you're not abiding by some of the absolute claims that Jesus makes, then you're not in truth. So the first thing you need to know is truth is a relationship with God that changes us. The second thing you need to know about truth is that because it's a relationship with God that changes us, it's something that has to be sought. It has to be followed. We have to seek it. That's why we have that word discovering. We're looking for it. We're growing in it. We're moving toward it. That's what truth is. It's something that, it's not something that I achieve and find. It's something I move toward. And so we have to seek it. The problem is so many of us seek truth in all the wrong places. Science is a quest for truth. And it can deliver many wonderful things through its hypothesis and theories and facts. But if it's not changing us for the better, it's a vain pursuit. If we're not bringing Jesus into it, it doesn't help us. Philosophy can help unpack deep things about ourselves and this world and the way it works. But if it's not leading us to Jesus, it doesn't work. Politics. Man, politics can change the world in ways good and horrible. But if it's not tied to a pursuit of Jesus, it doesn't really deliver. Some of you go, I can't stand science, politics, philosophy. So my truth is my family. Well, here's the truth of your family, right? Even if you have an incredibly amazing family, one of you is going to be left bereft at the grave of your loved ones. How's that truth work for you? You can only find truth in Jesus. Now, Jesus can be found in science. They say that God is evident through a microscope and a telescope alike. Jesus can be found in philosophy. Jesus can be found in your family. Jesus can be found in politics. But are you looking for him there? Are you seeking the truth? Because the truth needs to be sought. And the interesting thing is, Jesus reveals truth, but he wants to be sought. He rewards those of us who seek him. Have any of you watched, I've recommended it before, The Chosen? Anybody seeing The Chosen stuff? I think it's absolutely fantastic. If you haven't, just pull out your phone and go to your app store, and it's a free app, and you can figure it out from there. But at the end of season 2, the last episode, it's this film series on the life of Jesus. And it has a lot of fun with Jesus preparing the Sermon on the Mount. And in preparing the Sermon on the Mount, he's talking to Matthew. I think it's an interesting speculation because Matthew's the only one that records the Sermon on the Mount. And he's talking to Matthew, and Jesus has just said the bit on the Sermon on the Mount that's, you are the salt of the earth. And Matthew's like, what do you mean? What do you mean that you're the salt of the earth? And Jesus sits there and explains, he says, well, you know, salt is a preservative. It stops decay, and I want my followers to be part of stopping the decay of the world. And salt brings out flavor, and I want my followers to be people who help bring my flavor to this world. And salt is used in healing. You combine it with honey, and you can wrap a wound, and it'll help heal it. And Matthew, who in The Chosen plays this autistic character, says, well, why didn't you just say that? And Jesus says, and for me, a really poignant way, says, because I want to be sought. I want my followers to dig in. I want them to look. I want them to try to understand. I want them to actively pursue me, pursue truth. And that's not just The Chosen's kind of hypothetical. That's actually based on Scripture. If you were to go look at Jesus being asked, why do you always teach in parables? And Jesus says, in a couple of the Gospels, when he's asked, why do you teach in parables? Because to you, you who are looking, you who are seeking, are given the secrets of the kingdom. But to everybody else, to be ever seen, ever looking and never seeing, ever hearing but never comprehending. Jesus wants to be sought. And I think he wants to be sought because the truth presented to us directly tends to just make us defensive. The truth needs to come to us subtly. And this is where I get to my poem. Any of you fans of Emily Dickinson in here? Emily Dickinson has this great poem that's called To Tell It Slant. Here's how it goes. Tell all the truth, but tell it slant. Success and circuit lies. Too bright for our infirm delight, the truth's superb surprise. As lightning to the children eased with explanation kind, the truth must dazzle gradually, or every man be blind. We have to work at it because that's the only way we can comprehend it. So how do we do that work? Well, again, you can do that work in science, you can do that work in philosophy, you can do that work in your family, but some of the best places to find Jesus, to seek Jesus, are in Scripture, in prayer, and in church or community. Those are the big three. There's lots of things that spin out from them, but Scripture is truth, right? In a couple of weeks, I'm going to preach on Thy Word is Truth. This is truth. This is God speaking. Jesus says that everyone who wants the truth listens to Him. This is where He speaks. Yes, it's with human tone and voice inspired by the Holy Spirit, but God is speaking this. This is where you find truth. Jesus similarly says that if you seek, you will find. So how do you seek God? You seek God in prayer. It's a natural place. That's how you find God. And Jesus also says that where two or three gather in His name, there He is present with them. So when you get together with other believers in church, that's where you're going to find Jesus. That's how you seek Him and find Him and grow in Him. And there are all kinds of disciplines that come up and around this, but if you want to seek Jesus, you know, you should have a daily quiet time where you're reading Scripture and where you're memorizing it and listening to other people who comment on it. It's really helpful. You should spend time on your knees and be seeking silence and solitude because you can pray, and that's where you're going to find God. You should be at church. You should get into a Sunday school class. You should get into a small group or a Bible study. And by the way, we're kicking off some great ones next week. These are places that you find truth. So thus far we've seen truth is a relationship with Jesus. Truth is something that we seek. I want to say one more thing based on this text about what truth is, and that's that truth is proclaimed. It's testified to. Jesus says in our text that He came to testify to the truth. That makes sense. Jesus is on trial. Trials are all about telling the truth. You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God, except Jesus is God. So, of course, He's saying the truth. But that's what you do. And if we're going to be like Jesus, if we're going to conform to Him who is truth, then we're going to do the same things He does. And one of the things He does, right, is tell the truth. So we're going to tell the truth. Jesus says He's going to call us as His witnesses. We're going to be His witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. He says that we're going to be called before judges and rulers and authorities, and that we need to tell the truth and the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And oh, by the way, He will help you with that. The Holy Spirit's going to give you the words at that moment so you can tell the truth. And when you do this, you need to do it, as it says in the Scriptures, with gentleness and respect. Because that's the way Jesus tells the truth, right? Like, He didn't say it confrontationally, not all the time. Sometimes He did, "You brood of vipers," but most of the time that's not the way He said it. So we testify to the truth both in word and in deed. Let me start with the latter of those. All right, if you really believe Jesus is who He says He is, if you believe His word, then you're going to do what He said to do. And your deeds are going to reflect that you actually really believe this. You're going to love each other more. You're going to love God more. You're going to fulfill the Great Commission. You're going to be growing in your patience. Your deeds are part of how you testify to the truth. But here's the problem. There are a lot of really nice people out there who don't have a clue about the truth. And deeds alone don't work. There's this noted atheist. He's really interesting and very convicting. He says, Christians must either not really believe what they say about judgment and hell, or they must really hate me because they never talk to me about Jesus. Right? They're really nice, but they must either not believe that I'm in danger of going to hell, or they must want me to go to hell. Now, I hope he's wrong, but you get the point, right? Deeds alone don't make the point. You also have to use words. As many of you know, this is one of those true things. If I were doing two truths and a lie, I used to work for Young Life. And in Young Life, they have this really wonderful phrase that you have to earn the right to be heard. And I would always add to that, and when you do, you have to speak. Earn the right to be heard, and then speak. Speak the truth about who Jesus is. Friends, let me just sum it up. Truth is a relationship with Jesus. A relationship that's sought continually. A relationship that's proclaimed in word and deed. And this is the narrow road between legalism and license. And this is the truth that you can build your life on and that the world needs to see. So let's go live into the truth. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let me pray. Lord, I do pray for this dynamic element of truth. That, Lord, you would be changing us to better reflect the truth of who you are. Lord, empower us to seek you and to proclaim you and to walk with you. Lord, bring this world to yourself, the truth. And bless us. In your name we ask it. Amen.